Proverbs 31, verse 25 to 29. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and blesses her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Yeah, amen. All right. So, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all you biological and adoptive mothers. Today is the day the world recognizes the work and the role that you're doing at home. But what I believe is this should not happen once a year. I believe Mother's Day should be an everyday thing. You know, we, their children, I'll be included in the children for now. You know, we should show our love and our appreciation to our mothers as much as possible, because, you know, through our mothers, this is what I've realized, through our mothers, we get, you know, to first taste of how it is to be loved, right? And this is, we are loved when we are unable to give anything back, to do anything, or even show appreciation. I'm just looking at my daughter, baby. You know, she is so loved by her mother, she can't even give anything. She just sort of cries there, feeds, and yeah. She's not giving back in a way, right? But we learn to love because mothers loved us first. All right. This reading is, if you just look at, if you have your Bibles, go all the way to the beginning of verse, of the chapter 31. This reading is from the excerpt called The Worthy Woman. Or Virtuous Woman at the end of Proverbs. But at the beginning of Proverbs, the chapter is actually worded by Lemuel, a relatively unknown king. We don't know if he's a real king or just a pseudonym. But the wisdom is taught by who? His mother. Yeah, his mother. So, even though this is a Mother's Day message, there's a lot of things that us guys, men, boys, and unmarried guys have to learn. For example, listen to your mothers, men. Right? Why? She took care of you and loved you from the time that you were conceived. She knows best. You know that song? Mother knows best. And she will not simply hand you over to any other woman in this care, you know, and that's the worthy mother, that's a worthy woman that we pray. But before we continue on, let's just pray. Let's just give this service to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you have for us, for our mothers, not just the mothers, Lord, for our women. And Lord, may it not just be a message for them, Lord, but for everyone hearing this, Lord, may we appreciate the mothers that you've sent us, Lord, the mothers that have been gifted with children, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for those in the future that will be something that they will look forward to, Lord, and not fear, Lord. Having children is just a gift from you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. I just want to go through that reading first, and then we'll move on. Because one thing we see, he starts off, the words of chapter 31 is a description of a worthy woman, or an excellent wife, they say. But later on, it talks about motherhood. So, let's just focus on the womanhood first, before the motherhood. The one thing that that really sticks out here, especially in verse 25 to 27, are the words strength, dignity, wisdom, and kindness. And all of these keywords work together under the umbrella of kindness. I've spoken about kindness before. You know, during the pandemic, they keep saying, be kind to one another. Be in all that. But I'm going to speak about that once again, just to remind us today what kindness is. All right. First of all, kindness is not being soft. You know, kindness is not being soft. And sometimes someone showing you kindness doesn't feel all that soft. Sometimes it's harsh, right? It's the hard truth, but it's good. So it is. So it feels harsh, but it's for good. So it's not good, it's for good. Kindness is practical. Kindness is strength tested that produces dignity. Right? For example, I only have two mothers in this world, my mama over there and my mommy on the other side. Both sides, literally. Both beautiful. When I'm growing up, my mama over there, when she corrects me, she doesn't just tell me what I've done wrong and then goes on to tell me what I should be doing right. You know, the difference there is because the kindness there is she tells me off, tells me the right way, and then takes the next step in giving me the practical step in showing me how things are done right. You know, that's kindness. Kindness is practical, kindness is good, and kindness is, what was the third one? Oh, I only have two, so let's stick with that. If you've ever tasted my pork adobo, you will know that that's not me. That's her doing, all right? Mama taught me the ways of cooking since I was small. You know, my job when I was six was to cook rice. Yep, you start off with rice. And I learned how to cook adobo, the thing is, right? I learned how to cook adobo, not from her, but from a website. And I thought that was it. But it takes like almost 3 hours to cook this particular adobo. And then we were going to have a shared lunch here at church. And I wanted to show everyone that I know how to cook adobo. But before that, I think we had a family dinner. You know, she wasn't here, she's already in Australia. So we had a family dinner at my brother's place. And my brother cooked pancit, which is another one of Mama's specialty. So he's kind of inherited that one. And I was going to cook adobo. But my adobo took 3 hours to cook. Something's wrong. So I think my brother told my mom, it's like something's wrong with Jami's adobo. So she rang me and said, this is how you cook adobo. So we were on the phone, I was on the phone the night before our shared lunch, and she taught me everything there is to do this particular style of adobo, from cutting the meat to to listening to what it sounds when the fat is rendering. This is the time you put the vinegar, right? You don't just it looks a little bit burnt, and then you put the vinegar. No. You listen. You don't just look, you listen. And you put the vinegar, and you don't just stir it straight away. You wait for it to boil. And then, it's not just here's, that video that's going this, how Filipinos teach cooking? You add this, you add that, and this and that, and this and that. No, she's not like that. She explains the details. She taught me that when vinegar is heated and boiled, it changes its properties. That's why it tastes different when you're cooking with vinegar. That's why when I was growing up, I thought adobo was cooked with soy sauce because it's dark. It's like, no, it's vinegar. All right. So now you know the secret. I'm going to expect some adobo on our next... Okay. Oh, you already tried it, right? But the thing is, here's the wisdom. It's not only in cooking that Mama shows her wisdom. It is what surrounds cooking. You know, you gotta have to look beyond what's happening and see the lessons. This is where she taught my sibling and I. One, the lesson, time management, right? Time management. How long will the food cook? So you're able to tell those who are hungry and waiting how long they have to wait. So at the same time management, and hope giving, right? You give them hope that they will eat in an hour. Multitasking. We learn multitasking because different foods cook different at different times. So what do you do while you're waiting? You know, what will you do that will complement and not distract? Clean. That's right. Finally, perseverance. Mama taught us perseverance through the act of cooking with many trials and error, like my 3-hour adobo. No. You know, what I learned is that people have different tastes. And she taught us to keep improving to the point where people enjoy what we cook, you know, and not simply how I would like it to taste. Because I have a different, when I started cooking, they would point out, your cooking is bland. Yeah, my cooking is bland, guys, because I have a sensitive tongue, and whatever spice there is there, I can taste straight away. So I tend to put less and less of salt, less of everything. And they say, oh, your food is bland. But I change that. So I know if it's slightly salty for my taste, slightly vinegarish, slightly whatever, then that's good enough for everyone. So these are the wisdom Mom taught us that I carried when I was young. Even now, I'm still getting a lot. You know, she's visiting. This is her second visit this year. And I found out so much more that I'd never heard before, you know. All these stories she's opened up to our ladies of the house. She didn't know I'm just upstairs listening to all these stories. Yeah. Where are we? I see that as kindness because it is good, practical, and beneficial for others. I didn't like it to begin with. Right? Who likes cooking rice when you should be out playing with your friends? No one, right? And yeah, it's old school. And you know, there's three of us siblings, and we get to share the number of days that we cook. But there's 7 days, and there's 3 children. So who gets the extra? Yeah, the middle child gets the extra night. I didn't like it at the beginning, but I love it now. Why? Because I learned that this is my inheritance. You know, it is the strength that produced dignity. I can walk to a kitchen and be proud that I know my way around kitchen. I know how to cook. I used to be better at Ezra at cooking.
Used to be,
yeah, that's a key word. And now this is what I see Ezra passing on to her children. Although they're not there yet. Yeah, Sam. They're not there yet, but I know they will. Okay. So that is kindness. Kindness to me is that passing down of wisdom because it's good, it's practical, and it's beneficial for everyone. The second part of this, the womanhood, the worthy woman, is that her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters... Sorry, I can't read that far. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel in them all. Okay. Yeah. All right. Though we are all different, you know, we all differ in our relationship with our mothers, we also have to accept that this woman, the woman who has given birth to you, was chosen by God to bore you. Okay. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad terms with them. This is the woman that God chose to bore you. Psalms 127, verse 3. I always hold on to this. Behold, children are gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So, what does that say? It doesn't matter how old or how young you are when you had your child. It is a gift of God. Yes? So, don't just drop them. Don't, you know... Let them see the light of day because God has chosen you. It might not be the time that you wanted. It might not be in your plans, but children are gift of the Lord. She does not ask, the mother does not ask to be blessed by her children, but she is. You know, I thought 3 children was my aim. You know, when Esther and I, before we got married, we did this marriage course, and they asked, how many children would you like? I put there 3. And then when we compared our results, Ezra put there 6. And I thought, oh, okay, 6. And then when we had Elijah, she said, oh, yeah, maybe 3 is enough, you know, through childbirth. But seeing how much she was blessed by having children, you know, originally I said no after the third. I think it's like we have 2 boys and a girl. That's quota, you know. There's nothing between a boy and a girl. Just that's enough. But looking at her, watching how she loves children and how they've done everything to make sure that I would like another one as well. Yeah. So we decided, okay, we'll have more. And God gave us 6 children. 5 here with us and 1 already with Jesus. They are all blessings to us. So, yeah. So once again, this message is supposedly for the mothers, but I have to add something for the men as well. So husbands and young men, what does it say here? Praise your wife. Praise your wife. Yeah. So single men, young men, one day you'll be married.
But it didn't say all the time.
Praise your wife. Okay, the Bible teaches us, right, that husband and wife are what? One flesh. Her joy is your joy. Her suffering is your suffering. So do not neglect your wife. You can find many ways to praise her. She has more than one good qualities, right?
Amen.
Yeah. If you can't find any good qualities from your woman, then you have a problem, right? And you'll need to see me, or Dad, or Pastor Andrew. The thing is, right, she should be the number one woman in your life, guys, okay? No other woman should take that spot or even come close to that, right? Yeah. So when Esther and I would meet up with Pastor Andrew, we usually do this weekly, and we would talk about ministry or just simply catching up. If we start to disagree a lot in our conversation, Pastor Andrew would just stop the meeting and say, look, how are you two? How are you as husband and wife? You know, that's the priority there. The wisdom there is that what happens at home spills over the church, spills over the ministry. Because this is not a job, this thing that we're doing. It's not a job. It's a part of who we are, right? And it reflects what is filling our hearts at that time. So when I come home late, very late usually, and I'm tired and I want just peace and quiet, you know, I don't just go, hey, shh. Peace and quiet for me. I'm the man of the house. No, you know, I come home and she goes, you know what? I miss you. That is a big flag for me. That's a big flag that I've been neglecting her. So it's like, oh, okay, time to shape up. So be like Pastor Dad's. You know, you would not hear him praise any other woman other than mom, right? You guys are my witness. He would praise her when she's already embarrassed. Why? Why is that? Why does he do that? Because he is her husband, and she is his wife, the mother of his children, and she is number one. Yeah. So at the end of the end of chapter 31, you know, it says, you know, how husband would praise his wife. There's one there that I didn't add, which is the next verse. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
Amen.
Yeah. She shall be praised. So mothers who believe, which we're going to talk about that now, because before it was just the wife, But suddenly they started talking about children, so now it's the worthy mother. And there's a merit to mothers who believe. In 2 Timothy, just keep that photo there. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, this is Paul writing to Timothy, you know, his true son in the faith. And not his biological son, by the way. He says, "Therefore I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you as well." So we can see in this picture, I like this one because I searched the internet and found usually you'd find just the grandma, Timothy, the boy, and the mother. Who is that guy at the background? Right? Who is the guy in the background? Why is he dressed like that? Okay. So Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man in the faith, encouraging him and affirming his faith lineage through his mother and grandmother. The faith of these two women helped shape the faith of this young man. Yeah. That, you know, and this man is instrumental to the development of the early church. Okay. It says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 15, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus." See, in those times, I bolded it so you know what's happening there. In those times, Jewish boys would go learn their religious education all the way up to age of 12, right? However, this is the that guy. Who's that mystery guy at the back? I don't think Timothy got his learning from school. I believe that he got it from his grandmother and mother. Instead, in Acts 16, it shows here, verse 1 to 3. "Now Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there, named Timothy." Here we go, that's the young man. "The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brothers and sisters who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to leave with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek." Yeah. So Timothy was found, you know, here already as a disciple, but was not circumcised like all, you know, Jewish boys. This is because I believe his father was Greek. His father was not Jewish. Which in those times made him a mixed breed. So he's a Samaritan, basically, you know, Jewish who married people from different cultures. And they shunned them. These were people who were shunned. The fact that he is not also circumcised tells us that his father had a lot to say in his upbringing. However, because of the faith of his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, even with a Greek father, Timothy came to faith. Yeah, that's the good news there. Without their faith, there would be no Timothy to pastor and strengthen the church of Ephesus. And their faith rippled through the generations and beyond. All right. So, what do we learn from this? I'm going to finish with this, by the way. It's just a short one. A.W. Tozer said, "Press on in faith, hoping and believing that God will illuminate the truth of himself in such a way that we may know him better." So just keep at it. Keep on the faith. You know, I read messages about Lois and Eunice, and some even goes as far as Eunice might have been a single mom, because there's nothing told of the father after being mentioned as a Greek. And, you know, Lois have to endure a daughter that's married to a different culture. You know, those things, I didn't drive into them deeply, because at the end of the day, these mothers, these two women, pressed on with their faith, and that resulted in a Timothy. So, press on in faith, hoping and believing that God will illuminate the truth of himself in such a way that we may know him better and teach that to your children. Right? So, let me finish here. Mothers, I encourage you, press on with your faith. Amen. You know, the greatest gift that you can give to your children is to point them to Jesus. Yeah? Yeah. Teach them the Word of God. Present Jesus to them in all of his goodness and beauty. Explain to them how you came to surrender your life to him and why you love him. It's sometimes we just say, I believe in Jesus, but don't really explain to our children why or how it came to be. It's good to know. Help them to see Jesus and his gospel as the most desirable, wonderful source of joy and hope. Amen. All right, amen. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for all the mothers here, especially those who persevered, especially in the times, Lord, where the husband may not be on fire for God, or even when the husband is not there to show the ways. So Lord, bless each and every woman here. Lord, even those who are not mothers yet, but Lord, I know that in your heart you've called them not just to be a woman, but to be mothers to children. May it be by adoption, may it be by natural biological birth, Lord. But Lord, children are your gifts to us, and they are a blessing, Lord. So Lord, we just ask that you continue blessing each and every person here. May it be a testimony for them when they go back to work, when they go socializing, Lord. Let them know that family is the greatest thing, Lord, because that's how you made us. Have you created us as the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a family, Lord, it's a community, then we also thrive in that. And Lord, bless each and every person here, the men that served and the men that supports their women, make them number one, Lord, and encourage these men also to continue praising their women. Lord, the children continue blessing their parents, and in turn, Lord, let the older ladies educate the younger ladies, Lord. Let them bring them up in the word, and Lord, let them encourage one another, Lord. So, Father, bless them as they go. Don't let them leave this place not getting their share of the blessing, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.